Didn't we just hear this? Didn't we just hear these readings not too long ago? We just saw this text. Now, I don't mean just this specific text and these readings, which we actually did have only a couple weeks ago, but even more generally, these readings that focus on the end times, the end of the world, the second coming, the final judgment. We just spent several weeks at the end of the church year on this. The end is near. The Lord is coming. And now we are in our second week of Advent, and guess what? The end is near, and the Lord is coming soon. It is an important but difficult time for preachers, I think. Every year, for about 5 weeks or so, we take up what can feel like the mantle of Chicken Little, and we preach that the sky is falling, or at least soon will, and that we need to watch and be vigilant and anticipate the day that will come with no tomorrow. And yet we've heard this. We've heard this all before. And we fully anticipate to hear this again, if not tomorrow, the next year. Now, this isn't a polemic against the lectionary. I like the lectionary just fine. Thank you very much. This is a good thing to be reminded often that the day of the Lord's return is approaching, that our redemption is drawing near, that we should lift up our heads in expectation. How easy it is for us to become distracted, heads drawn down. In the text, Jesus speaks of dissolution and drunkenness and cares of this life. No doubt such things can sharply turn us from the vigilance that these later days now demand. But these things can take on more subtle hues. Thinking now of preachers and professors and students of theology, one must always be on guard against the crux theologorum. No, not the knots why some are saved and not others. It's the other crux. Theology itself. Or to be clearer, when the study of theology becomes dangerously confused with the object of theology. See, we can debate and deliberate and discuss the divine, but that's quite different than to love him, to wait upon him, to place our hope in him. It would be an ironic distraction indeed if we were concerned more about eschatology than with the eschaton. There's a little story to this effect about the physicist Max Planck. You probably know it. When he died, he went to heaven, and St. Peter met him at the gate, saying, "Professor Planck, this door leads to the kingdom of heaven, and this door leads to a discussion about the kingdom of heaven." What do you think the theologian would choose? No, we need to hear texts like these that move us beyond just words, but direct us to signs. Signs of the end, signs of the times. But the problem is that these signs, these harbingers of the end, they look pretty familiar. Haven't we heard these things before? Haven't we seen these things before? These signs detailed for us in this chapter, earthquakes and pestilence and famines and tumults. These are things that happen, if not week in and week out, year after year. Jesus says that we will hear wars and rumors of wars, and that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, goodness, that's nothing new. That's been going on since Nimrod was a mighty hunter. I've always wanted to use that verse in a sermon. These signs of the end are the same things that we have seen before, and we see them all the time. The miseries of the past just being repackaged and coming to us again. Perhaps they will get more frequent and more destructive, But how does one interpret the barometer of terror and turmoil? Year after year, generation after generation, we, and I mean all of humanity, we are being ground down by the same painful history of tragedies, inhumanities, and calamities. How does one find in these things signs that something new is on the horizon, namely redemption? Now, missing from our text is the analogy that these signs are like those of labor and giving birth. Jesus makes this comparison in Matthew and in Mark, and Paul uses it several times in reference to the last days. Now, I know it doesn't mention this specifically, but this analogy has just got to include false labor and Braxton Hicks contractions. And for this reason, a mother-to-be may rush to the hospital 6 or 7 times experiencing labor pains, only to be sent home again to wait some more. But nobody concludes from this experience that the baby just isn't gonna come. No, anticipation is heightened. A little frustration, but of course, it's coming. These are signs that something is certainly going to come to pass, even if it does finally come suddenly. And then joy because of the sweet little baby who arrives. But this isn't in Luke. And this is only Advent 2, so there's no sweet little baby coming either yet. Instead, there is the travail of the heavens. The cosmic shudder of the sun and moon and stars. The sky is falling. And people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming, and when the coming of the Son of Man appears, he is riding on the clouds with power and great glory. Watch yourselves, lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all of these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Haven't we heard this before? Yes, the Son of Man. The prophet Daniel spoke of him. At the end, at the great judgment, the Son of Man will come with the clouds of heaven and be given dominion over all people. Yes, we've heard this before. But we've seen and we've heard more. This is also the Son of Man who entered into our history of miseries. This is the Son of Man who claimed to have authority to forgive sins and to heal the broken and the sick on the Sabbath. This is the Son of Man who came eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. This is the Son of Man who had no place to rest his head, but came to seek and save the lost. This is the Son of Man who was betrayed with a kiss. This is the Son of Man who suffered many things, was rejected, killed, and on the third day, raised again. We've heard this before. This is the Son of Man who is coming again. He is the one who suffered for the world, and now all of the suffering of the world finds its final end, not in destruction and death, but in Him who has been raised from the dead. This is the Son of Man who has taken the tragedy of human history into Himself, and now all of it points to Him who comes with its redemption. Yes, we have seen him before, and he still bears those tokens of this suffering and this tragedy, those cruel yet glorious scars. We've heard this all before, and it is wonderfully familiar. It has even been proclaimed again and again in the body broken and the blood shed, and it will continue to be proclaimed until he comes. So when you hear these things again, and you see these things, straighten up. Raise up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Amen.